The Novos When You Wake Up.
Live across Newcastle and the Hunter.
All live, all local, 100% Newcastle.
Oh, morning, everyone.
Morning.
It's Friday's Friday.
Oh, yes, Thursday today.
Isn't it?
Right.
How was Will Day yesterday?
Oh, just wonderful.
Dreamy? Because this is Ari's day where she goes to hang out with the boyfriend.
Yeah, we get 2 days a week, well, 2 nights a week, I should say, together.
Heads over to the Mayfield Mansion.
Yes, yes.
And you're just living it up, yeah? Mm.
Did you bring
him any treats?
Actually, no, not this week.
Oh.
Most weeks I'll bring him something, but, you know, after work yesterday, he got himself, like, a six-pack of beer and he was just living it up. You know, because he's got a day off today.
Did you have
any
of those?
No, I don't like beer.
Ah,
no,
right, just, fair enough.
Yeah, just have my own little drinks and
glass of wine or something.
Yeah, exactly. So
lovely.
Yeah, just went over there, just relaxed. It was awesome.
I saw somebody yesterday, Coles Mayfield upstairs car park, having such a good time. They were just dancing.
Really?
Yeah.
Coles Mayfield?
Yeah. First in the, like, trolley return area.
Yeah.
Then they moved it to that garden bit that separates the car park and the road.
Yeah.
And they were just having a great... I went in. I only had to get a couple things.
Huh.
I went in. They came back out. They're still dancing away.
Oh, my gosh. Did they have their own speaker and everything?
I didn't see any speaker or hear music.
Oh, it's all they had. Maybe they had AirPods in.
They could have had AirPods in. And not bad moves, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Excellent.
He also had an avocado jacket on, which was impressive.
Oh,
I mean, what a character.
Oh, you know, it sounds like a scene from Step Up, you know, when they just randomly break out into dance in the middle of the street in some of those films.
I haven't seen the movie.
Oh, okay.
But I know of them.
Yeah.
They're like street dancing, isn't
it?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, there you go. Step Up near you.
Step Up Mayfield Streets. I mean, it was impressive, is all I'll say.
Brilliant. I wish I could have seen that.
Yeah.
Should have filmed it for me.
I wanted to, but at the same time, I was like, this is a fleeting moment. Do not miss a second.
True. Very true. No, you're right.
You know when you just have to live in the moment?
Yeah,
it's like when you're at a concert. You don't need to film it. You're not watching that video later.
Exactly. In the mind's eye. Yes.
That's it. Just enjoy it.
You're waking up with the Novos live across Newcastle and the Hunter. They're local as... On the air now.
I saw on Facebook a couple of days ago, so my sister-in-law's mum, she actually tagged my brother and sister-in-law in a post on Facebook, and it's advertising a home in Harrodsburg, Kentucky. It's going through a foreclosure. It's 10,500 square foot, 4-bedroom, 3-bath on 2.96 acres, rather. It's like this big 1890s style heritage home.
Oh, yes.
Like that's a big mansion.
Right up my alley.
Yes.
I like old houses.
The thing is, though, it is so dilapidated and pretty much destroyed on the inside.
Oh,
so
renovator's delight, if you will.
Oh, my God. And cleanup's delight. Like, seriously,
yeah, right.
A big mess, this is definitely the project for you. It's going for $49,500 to sell.
It's on the cheaper side, isn't it?
It is.
But where do you have to live again?
Kentucky, Harrodsburg, yeah. But, oh, my God, nearly 3 acres. That's awesome.
Hey, it's good value. But a lot of American real estate is like that. If it's not in a major city,
they,
like, have this old rubbish falling down house. For very cheap, the land value, basically.
Yeah, basically.
That's
you can
really
sell off the land and get your money back.
Well, you probably... How much does it cost again? $49,500?
Yep.
It's probably... They're like, okay, you want to sell the land?
$48,500.
Okay. I mean, the house probably adds a tiny bit of value to it. It's often the place... And you know what? It's your sister-in-law's from, like, Ohio, right?
Yep.
Also another place with a lot of cheap real estate.
Yes. Yes,
very,
it is.
Very cheap. It's just a different way that real estate operates there. Outside of the capital cities and the big cities like New York and stuff are the same as Sydney.
Mm.
Outside of that, though, it can be really cheap.
Oh,
it's
really
got
affordable.
So
yeah.
much land, so many houses, and the population is not really growing. So it's just the way it is. But fascinating to see, isn't it?
Oh my God, 1890 house? That's incredible, honestly.
You and Will could move over there and fix it up together.
I was considering just buying it from here and then getting a team over there to go and just do their thing. And then when it's done, just move over.
Well, maybe you could. Your brother's moving to America, right?
Yes, correct.
Maybe make it a little family affair.
Oh, that could be a bit sweet. A little bit of a fixer-upper on 3 acres.
Yeah, you could be on one of those shows on 9Gem.
I'll build a ranch.
Hey, that's what I mean. You've got enough room for a horse on 3 acres. Just...
That'd be good.
Only one horse, but that'll be all right.
Maybe two.
Two. You could probably have two.
A little mini stable.
Yeah, little stables.
Yeah, saddle club.
You and Will just living the dream in your cowboy hats and R.M. Williams. What a fantastic idea that is.
I know.
For live and local news, there's only one.
From our 100% local newsroom in the Hunter, UFM's First at 5.
All right, Bree is here from your live and local newsroom. Morning, Bree. How are you?
I'm good, guys. Feeling refreshed. How are we feeling?
Yeah, we're on the pointy end of the week, which I think both of us are quite happy about.
Tired!
That Ari summed it up pretty well. Let's start with a story about bravery, though, Ari.
Yeah, something about an attack in Charmhaven. A man's come out on top with a bravery award.
Yeah, that's right. So back in 2018, there were two beachgoers down at Catherine Hill Bay struggling in the surf, and a man has gone in and rescued them, essentially pulled them out of the water. They were caught in a rip. He's there given them assistance before they've been taken to hospital. So he's been recognised for his bravery there by an award that he's going to be getting from the Governor General. So that's huge.
That's massive, actually.
Yeah. I mean, to save two people, that is something that you will stick with you, right?
Yeah, definitely. And it's, you know, it just shows what type of man he is as well. His name is Liam Bryan, so props.
Congratulations.
To him.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, switching gears a little bit. There was somebody who was found around a theft incident plus some traffic offences. Is that right?
Yeah. So yesterday at Charlestown, a 15-year-old boy was arrested and he's set to appear in children's court today. He's been charged over a range of traffic offences, but also an alleged theft of more than $1,500 of alcohol from an Edgeworth bottle store.
He's 15.
15.
That's impressive. What a heist.
I mean, obviously crime doesn't pay and all that, but how did he, I mean, was he driving? Like,
no idea. So
at that age, you're not supposed to have any license,
No. So it just makes me think. He's been charged with a range of
different offences.
E-bike offences. Okay. So I'm assuming. Oh. We can only assume, you know, he's had an e-bike and he's gotten it out. Because how else would you... You've got a trolley and you're just wheeling it out of the store. $1,500 worth of alcohol.
That's a lot. Unless maybe he's got all the expensive liquor bottles or something. It'd be just a dozen. You know, there's a lot
just
of stuff.
Backpack.
A lot of stuff is over $100. So if you got 12 bottles...
Where are you putting all of it?
And it's like
in your closet?
Yeah.
Where are you putting your parents to? 15 years, though, you're probably not drinking alcohol at that age.
You're not supposed to be, anyway. That's for sure.
Oh, would it pass Australians?
Yeah, there's definitely some that would. But
oh, yeah.
Geez, a lot of offences there by the sounds of it. Hopefully he's at an age where he can turn his life around.
Yeah, you'd hope so.
It's too much there, too young.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You know, hopefully you can get the right kind of guidance and advice to get back on track is all you'd hope for with a kid at that age.
UFM.
The Novos.
The Novos.
Now, this influencer, you might have seen this story like a week ago. This is a lady tradie and she put up this like video saying, hey, how come all the men tradies on a hot summer's day can work topless, but the ladies can't? We're getting trouble.
Very fair question.
It is a fair question, but also, please be aware of skin cancer if you're working topless on any sort of work situation, any person.
Most work sites that I pass, like when I'm running or in my car or something, when they're building houses, a lot of them have their shirts off.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. And do you think, well, they better slip, slop, slap, or are you thinking... What are your thoughts when you see a bunch of tradies shirt on?
I'm just like, that's dumb. You're going to get burnt.
There you go. Exactly. Anyway, she made this post. It became quite sort of known for it. A lot of people were discussing it, you know, whether it's fair or not, as we discussed before.
Yes.
She's now popped up on a billboard.
Oh,
which is interesting.
What's she doing?
So she's got it's an electronic billboard, one of those ones that drives around on a truck.
Oh, they're really cool, those.
Yeah, so it's like a full TV screen, essentially. Mm-hmm. And it's in an area called Mossman, which is like a snooty rich part of Sydney on the northern sort of beach, or north of the city, essentially.
Right.
She spent $2,000 to hire this billboard.
Oh, wow.
It's got a picture of her, like, kneeling on a bed.
Right? Okay.
Which is a bit of an odd sort of position.
Yes, it is.
And it says, "So, if you're rich and lonely, call me." Photo of her phone number, mobile number, and then it says, "Looking for a sugar daddy."
Oh, bless. Well, she's outsourcing? Campaigning for one.
It seems to be the way. So, I mean, she's picked one of the wealthiest areas in Sydney.
Smart.
And look, a lot of people saying, you know, this is very distasteful, it's not, shouldn't be allowed, that sort of stuff. Grossly inappropriate for Mossman. Not a country road item in sight, someone said in the comment section.
Well, I think that it's kind of smart. I mean, you got to hustle where you can.
Well, that is true.
She's found, like, a way to, I guess, advertise herself.
Yes.
So go for it, I say.
Yeah, well, there you go. Ari's decision on the whole thing is, if you want it, get it, basically.
100% locally made, live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos.
So last night, I debuted my Shein order of cowboy boots, a top, and tried on the Akubra to match the whole outfit together, ready to go for tomorrow night, which is like the 30th birthday party, which is cowboy themed.
So you say you debuted it. Were you out at the shops? Where did you take this look?
So I got all dressed up, gussied up, and went to Will's and just kind of like walked
sauntered
over.
Sauntered in.
Yeah. So, like, where I park, obviously, like, I've got to park around the streets, right? So it's a little bit of a hike. Anyway, so I text him, like, oh, I'm here, whatever. And he always comes out and, like, greets me and, like, meets me, like, outside.
So, and then you hear you roll up. Cowboy boots.
Yep.
What did you say? Cowboy boots, top, mm-hmm. and hat?
Yeah.
No pants?
Well, no, they were pants. They were shorts,
right, denim shorts. Okay.
Anyway, so I walk over and because I said to him earlier in the day, I said, hey, I've got a treat for you because I won't see you on Friday night.
Right.
Because he's not coming to the birthday party, so he doesn't get to see my outfit otherwise. So strolls on over in these, like, beautiful big chestnut brown cowboy boots, and he looked at me, he's like, oh, that's brilliant, with
he
a big smile
it.
On his face. He loved it.
Nice.
He loves me in Western clothes.
Because he's a country boy at heart,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
He's just moved to the big city, Newcastle.
Oh, quite a few years ago, but yes.
Yeah, to, you know, find his wealth and his future.
and then he found me!
And potentially his wife.
I am his wealth and his future. Thank you very much.
You are welcome.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway, so he just couldn't stop looking at me all night, and he kept, like, looking at the boots, and, yeah, it was great.
Oh, nice. Mm. You must have been very happy with your choices.
I was.
Nice. Yeah. I love to hear that.
Yeah, I like being looked at by him. It's nice. Anyway.
Yeah, as it should be. You should look at your partner with love. That is so true.
Mm, and a lot of admiration.
Yeah.
And a bit of a wink.
Yeah, a little wink.
Yeah.
Did he give you a wink?
And a nudge, nudge, yes.
Nice.
Okay, great.
New FM.
The Novos.
Now we find out about a bloke called Tim Palm, okay?
Ooh.
Now, he is a quadriplegic, so that means he cannot use his legs or arms due to a disability.
Mm.
He hasn't let that stop him, though.
Right.
Because he started creating music. Now, just to give you, like, a visual description of what he's doing,
mm-hmm.
he's got, like, an iPad on an arm that
Ooh.
He can reach with his face, and he's using his tongue and mouth parts, like upper and lower lip and nose and stuff, to press like the on-screen buttons.
Interesting.
To make music. So you know how like when you press a keyboard piano, you press you press one key and ding, a note comes out. Mm-hmm. He uses his tongue, say, and he presses on the screen, ding, a note comes out.
Okay, kind of like a DJ deck in a way, but for your face.
Exactly. Now, here's a mini documentary of him just briefly explaining what he does.
Tim Palm is a producer who creates amazing music using his mouth. He has a disability, which means that most tabletop music gear is hard to operate, but he's found a solution to help him make incredible songs.
All this is live, by the way. He's doing it straight away.
Oh, my God.
His little tongue, pressing one button per time. Incredible,
I feel like it can't be done because listening to the succession of those beats, it was really fast.
Very quick. And his tongue is so rapid on the screen. Honestly, it looks like the vision of, you know, when a chameleon snatches a fly out of the air?
Oh, yeah.
And it's on, and they have to slow it down because it's so fast.
Wow. I wonder if he can type with his tongue. Like, as in, like,
Absolutely
send text messages
can.
Exactly like that?
Definitely can. He's so quick. You hear all those beats. That's how fast his tongue is moving.
So cool.
You jump in the comments section of this video on Facebook.
Mm.
Why has my wife tagged me in this? Tongue moves very rapidly and very accurately. Next one. Is he single? Asking for a friend.
Love it.
Wife just asked me if I'd ever considered making music with my tongue. Bro, stop it. My wife is on this app. Bro is making us all look bad.
Well, I mean, hey, he's got talent. It's not his fault that you can't keep up.
Well, that is so true. I just came to see if my wife was in the comments. I know you're here, Brittany. On and on it goes. Basically, insecure bloke seeing this going, oh, my God, dear. My wife can never see this video.
New FM.
The Novos.
The Novos.
This is unbelievable. It just goes to show this story, right, that doesn't matter who you are, if you don't follow the rules, it's the same for everyone, okay? You get banned, you get kicked out, you get something, right?
I like that, actually, when it's fair's fair.
Exactly. Well, there's been a bizarre reason which saw legendary basketballer, NBA player, Michael Jordan, wild reason why he's been banned from an exclusive country club that costs up to $1 million to join. So that's the first crux of the story, right?
They took his $1 million joining fee. And then they banned him.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, why is the question.
Okay, so what's happening here is he went to this country club and, look, he just wanted to get on the green because he likes to golf, right?
Yes, he's famous for it, actually.
Yes, you know, he made that transition from basketball away to, like, play golf and whatnot. Anyway, so apparently he got through 11 of the 18 holes, like, so it's a regular golf course.
Sure.
He was out of the green, yep. And then he was told by staff, oh, please, so you have to come back to the clubhouse. You don't have the right attire on.
Ah.
So he's wearing cargo shorts with, like, just a regular T-shirt and whatever, just playing his game of golf. And they're like, no, so we need you to step inside.
So what was wrong with his clothing?
So basically how this works is there is a dress code and you must wear long dress pants to play on the green.
So it doesn't matter if you're the most, like, famous basketball player
of all time.
Of all time.
Mm.
And let's not forget his role in this. Space Jam. Let's just enjoy a little bit of this, shall we?
Oh, yes.
Now,
I love Space Jam so much.
I feel as if he could have got a membership for free in a lot of different country clubs.
Oh, 100%.
But he had to choose the real exclusive one.
I mean, if you're Michael Jordan, you want the exclusivity.
I guess so, but go somewhere where you're appreciated and isn't so hoity-toity and needs you to wear certain pants.
Well,
that's,
I mean,
my advice.
Yeah, this is how, like, up themselves they are, right?
Okay.
They're just like, okay, yeah, we need you to wear long pants. Michael refuses, right? And then they kick him out and they ban him.
They ban him. They'd even say, come back another day with pants.
Oh, look, Michael, just come to Charlestown Golf Club. Okay.
I think you can wear cargo shorts there. They don't even mind.
Probably can. And probably the beer is free for you.
I'd say so. If Michael Jordan comes to Charlestown Golf Club, I reckon you're in with a shot at a free beer.
100% locally made, live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos.
I've found a little tidbit for you, Karevo, something for you to partake in.
Are you serious?
It combines two of your favourite things in the world.
I'm ready. What have you got for me?
Cooking.
Yes.
And France. Are you ready?
I love both of those.
The one and only Reese Hignall. So, friend of the show, yes. Cake Boy in Newcastle, just opened his new cafe as well in Mayfield.
He came in the shop the other day.
Mm. Well, he's just launched a little trip away for next year. Coming in May 2026, Let Them Bake Cake. Step into 18th century decadence with Reese Hignall's Marie Antoinette-inspired baking retreat in the Loire Valley, or whatever it's called. It's got photos as well on Facebook. I'll have to show you.
It's a nice part of the world. I've never been, but I've seen photos.
Mm-hmm. For 5 days, immerse yourself in the art of French patisserie, mastering everything from the delicate opera to the perfectly glazed raspberry petit gâteau. Was it petit?
Petit gâteau.
Gâteau.
if you just say it like you're a little bit unsure, it sounds more French. Petit gâteau. That's a trick.
I was thinking, how does that work? And then, So, 5 days of hands-on workshops. You'll culminate in a glamorous Let Them Eat Cake soiree where you'll then showcase your creations in true royal fashion. So, yeah, I think it's run with Reese Hignall. There you go.
Okay, so he's sort of, he's maybe the main guy that comes along with you,
he'll probably teach you some stuff.
How to do the cake. Brilliant.
Yeah. So yeah, in France, 2026.
Just save up.
Oh gosh, I think you should go. That's totally up your alley.
It is a little bit, yeah. And you know, with a fellow Mayfieldian, you know, it'd be so good.
Mayfieldians take over France.
There you go. Mm. That's got a good little ring to it as well.
Indeed.
UFM. The Novos. The Novos.
Okay, Woolies have decided to work on the, I guess, reusable bag situation.
Mm.
It's been, they've had a few iterations throughout. The first few ones were pretty solid and strong.
Yeah, weren't they like the really thick kind of white plastic?
Yeah, and then they went to this sort of the paper ones, which are universally disliked, I think.
Yeah, because, you know, they tend to fall apart more so than keeping.
Yeah, you can hardly get them home without the stuff falling through the bottom.
That's right. Right?
Now, for $20, shoppers can pick up what's called the universal bag, which they're calling a stylish and sustainable tote designed by British luxury accessories queen Anna Hindmarsh.
And a white one?
Anya Hindmarsh.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Anyway, I'll describe it for you.
Please do, and I'm going to get a photo up as well.
The material looks like, it would feel like a Converse shoe.
Oh, okay, like a canvassy style thing.
Yeah, and then it's in green, obviously, for the colours of the brand.
Of course, like then signature colours.
Yeah, and then it has like this sort of white stripy handle that you might see. It's maybe like the band that goes around a beach umbrella.
Yes, correct.
Something like that. They're calling it sleek and structured design. I'm looking at it. It's nothing special. I'm sorry. They're just saying that this is going to be one of the greatest things to come to shopping.
It looks really boring to me.
It looks so basic and so similar. It looks like a cheaper version of the existing bags, to be honest.
Oh, it really does.
There's nothing special about it at all. Ari, you, like me, are right into fashion, yeah? Mm. And you're looking at this thing. Are you thinking, wow, that's so fashionable?
I honestly think it's exactly like every other bag that Woolworths has produced. It's okay. It does the job. It just doesn't look the best.
It doesn't look fashionable. They've tried to take this thing, which is, you know, reusable bags, which are not that great. They sit in the bottom of the cupboard often.
Or
they get squished in the boot and they get all rumpled and crumpled. And they don't really look that good when you carry them. But at the end of the day, they're your shopping bags.
Yeah, nobody cares what it looks like. It's not a status symbol about what type of bag you have.
I tell you, if you get one of these $20 special bags, silly. It's no status symbol. Mm. I'll give you that info for free. It looks like nothing special, and I think they've really missed the mark with this. Anyway, they're available at the moment, $20 if you want to, you know, support a designer, get your hands on one, and look the same as every other bag ever produced.
New FM.
The Novos.
The Novos.
An institution in West Wallsend, a great love, if you will, of the people, is the Westie Hot Bread Shop. Now, these guys have beautiful bread and goods, but they also sell, they're known for their banh mi.
Yeah, this is like the Vietnamese pork sandwich or chicken sandwich on a roll.
They're beautiful.
It's like a Vietnamese Subway, but better. Basically.
Yeah, and like a hard crunchy roll.
Yeah, and a lot of people talk about that bread shop. Here's an admission for you. Mm-hmm. I've never been.
I've only been once.
But I'm a banh mi lover, and a lot of people talk about it. It's just a bit far.
Unless
I'm out that way for lunch, I can't see why I'd drive the extra distance.
Yeah.
But I've heard it's amazing.
Yes, exactly. Very popular. So a new banh mi shop is coming at Cessnock, under management of West Wallsend Hot Bread Shop.
So they're doing they're franchising.
They're expanding.
Oh, I love hear that. So it's out to Cessnock, is it?
Yes, it is.
Nice.
The thing is, though, they have, like, these ginormous banh mi versions. So, you know how you've got your individual rolls and they're, like...
They're probably about, I want to say, 20 centimetres long.
Yeah, roughly.
Yeah.
Well, this one is absolutely enormous. The photos kind of do it justice. It's about this, like, length of three of those big rolls, so...
So we're talking about over half a metre long. Probably.
Yes, correct.
That's extraordinary. Mm. I mean, so sometimes if I'm really hungry, I'll have one and a half.
Right.
Or even possibly two if I'm hungover.
You won't need to in this case.
You certainly wouldn't. You just get one of the big banana banh mi's. And you're ready to go. Imagine that on the work site.
I was just about to say that. All the tradies coming in going, hey, mate, let's get like the meter long.
Giant one?
Yeah.
A couple of giants, please.
Oh, my gosh.
Bit of pork sausage. Get it in there.
Share one with your friend. You can eat from one. And then the other from the other. Do that on the work site.
Full lady in the trampet.
Exactly.
Put that on TikTok.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Boys will love it.
105.3 New FM.
It's the Novos. Name five.
Oh, here we go. Game time. If you've never heard this, a 10-second timer is up there.
Oh, goodness.
And you just need to name five things from the category we give you within that time. Once it buzzes, you're out. If you name it on the buzzer, I let it in.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Like on the line.
Buzzer
like,
beater.
That's right. You got to beat it or be on it. It's like being on the line with the try. We let it through.
Yes, true.
Let's meet our contestant for today who's vying for the prizes, shall we?
Heading to the beautiful area of Wallsend. Good morning, Eleanor. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, really good.
Fantastic.
What are you up to today for Thursday?
Driving to work.
What do you do?
I'm an outdoor rec instructor, so go out abseiling today and
then
paddleboarding.
Oh my, how did you get that job? I want that job. That's great.
That sounds so fun.
It is an awesome job, yes.
Nice one. All right, so who's your, like, general clientele? Is it, like, school kids? Awesome. That's so fun because they're getting out of class, so of course they're happy to be there, right?
That's right.
Well, yeah, and stepping outside.
The time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you get them to step outside their comfort zones, teach them new things. That's great. Awesome job.
Yeah.
So good. All right, well, you know how the game works. You get 10 seconds on the clock. You got to name five things from the category we give you. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. Awesome.
Let's do this. Passes to Rip It Golf up for grabs. Plus, potentially, you could be off to the cabaret as well. We're putting you in the draw for those tickets just for getting on air.
How exciting.
Okay, here we go. I need you to name five cold drinks you can order from McDonald's.
Okay, chocolate frappe, Coke, Sprite, iced coffee, iced chocolate.
Oh, you've only gone and done it.
Oh, well done, Eleanor. Smash. smashed it.
I think you went to six there. Now, if you go over, is that still allowed, Ari?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay, good.
Well, bonus points.
Yeah, well done. We've given you a family ticket to play mini golf at Rippert Golf, plus in the draw to go and see the cabaret as part of the Newey Fringe.
That's so exciting. I hope we win.
Yeah, so do I. Have a lovely day. And how good's that? Getting out there teaching kids to stand up paddleboard and getting paid for it.
Brilliant.
What a way to live. A fantastic Novocastrian, our latest local winner from Wall's End, Eleanor.
UFM.
The Novos.
The Novos.
My little baby daughter, Esme, currently 10 months of age.
So beautiful.
And she enjoys of an evening story time.
Oh, yes.
Where I'll read her a couple of books, right?
I love that.
It's just so nice. We just sit down, wind down time at the end of the day.
And there's no better feeling than just sitting there and just sharing stories together, isn't there?
That's it, exactly. Now, up until recently, it's been great because we've got a little bookcase full of all kid books and I'll just be working my way through.
Right.
However, recently, she's become like, sort of obsessed with pop-up books. Well, not pop-up, they're like flip, the ones that have a flap that you can pull down and look behind there.
Sure.
Now, we've only got a small amount of those, maybe half a dozen, but she's really zeroed in on about four of them.
Oh, okay.
So much so, for like the last 2 months, it's the only book she wants to read.
Okay, so she won't even give anything else a go?
So I'll try and, so usually of a night, I'll read maybe those four, because not that long.
Then yeah.
Like a minute or two or five maybe tops, and it's all, you're all the way through a book.
Yeah.
And I'll try and, like, sneak another one into the rotation because it can be boring, to be honest.
Right.
And she just, as soon as it's a different book out of the four, it's, she just switches off, turns around, tries to crawl away.
Oh, really? So like she's not even interested.
The ultimate insult as well.
She's dissing you.
Yeah, she's like,
see ya.
You're not reading my favourites. I'm out of here. I actually don't need, you know, I'm not a captive audience, you know. If you don't bring the good gear, I'm not interested.
Interesting. Okay.
And I'm concerned as well because, like, imagine this is what it's like with food down the track or whatever.
Ooh.
You don't cook my top four meals. I'm out of here. Just leaves.
It's chicken nuggets, chips, and soup or nothing else.
God, that is the future. So these are some of the favourites that she's on at the moment.
Great.
And just behind the scenes, if you've got any tips on how to get her to read anything else, please call up 4967 4105 or at our Instagram, the Novos _.
Yep.
So at the moment, it's hide and seek pig. So,
aww.
Which, hey, these are all cute books.
Yeah.
Dear Zoo, which is where like a kid orders a pet from the zoo and it's all the wrong ones first.
Oh,
you know?
Sweet.
You can't have a, you know, an elephant or whatever because it's too big. Postman Bear and finally Rabbit's Nap, which is. Now, here's the thing though, right?
You're all animal based.
I try and read the rabbit one last because it's like about a rabbit having a sleep. I think maybe he'll go off to sleep.
Oh,
you get to that, though, and she's like, back to the start. She wants them all again.
Oh, that's so cute.
It is cute at the start, but when you've read the same four books...
You get annoyed.
Multiple times a night. Sometimes I have to go through three, four iterations.
Mm.
So you're reading, like, 16 times through these books, and we're at about 3 months in now, and she won't even let one new one into the cycle. Not even one.
Interesting. Okay.
I'm stuck. I don't know what to do.
All right. I've got some ideas for you, actually.
Okay.
So story time used to be one of my favourite things as a kid, right?
Okay.
With both mum and dad reading to me.
Yeah.
So one thing I thought that you could do, so you know how you said that she likes the, all the pop-ups and things like that. So she's kind of visual as well. Things she can touch and it's tangible. How about when you introduce like a new book, so you want to do something different.
Yeah.
Why don't you get like a handful of some of her toys perhaps?
Mm-hmm.
And like as you go through each page, use like some of the toys as like the characters in the story perhaps.
Oh, that's a good idea. Try and like get her involved that way.
Yeah. Okay. Interacted that way. Or now here's something that my dad used to do for me and I always used to request it.
Yeah.
I used to say, oh, Dad, can we not read a book tonight, but can you please make up a story for me? So Dad would sit down next to me on the side of my bed and he would just make it up as he goes along.
That's something I could do. That is a good tip. All right, I'll try some of that and report back because these four books in rotation, if I have to read them 100 more or even 200 more times, I may start to get sick of them.
You're waking up with the Novos, live across Newcastle and the Hunter. They're local ads. And on the air now.
Now, it looks like Newcastle is on track to host its biggest Matildas game crowd yet when Australia go against Korea Republic at McDonald Jones Stadium, which is coming up on April 7. Get this, right? So the city's record attendance for a Matildas match so far is 20,495. So that was a couple of years ago. Well, it's understood that ticket sales for the upcoming clash against Korea Republic were just shy of 21,000 on Monday.
Oh, my God. So it's going to be the biggest,
It's already the biggest, yeah.
I love to hear that.
How fantastic.
We gave some away, actually, on the show. So if you're that person that won, hold on to those things.
Oh, my goodness. It's shaping up to be quite the match. Can you imagine, like, the atmosphere there? Similar to the MCG, surely.
It'll be terrific. And, to, you know, obviously everyone's behind the Matildas.
We love our Tillies, yes.
Yeah, we certainly do.
It just goes to show how much love and appreciation there is now for females in sport as well. Like,
we've come a long way and still a lot further to go.
Right.
But we're on the right track. You hear numbers like that in Newcastle. You think, wow, Australia really is changing in the right direction. We're becoming a better society. I truly believe that.
I just hope that, you know, we get a team in, like, La Liga or the EPL or something one day.
Wouldn't that be so cool?
Yeah, like the Socceroos, if they were, like, got better and better and better. Like, all the new generations come up through grassroots football and then we're able to go and compete over in those big leagues.
Come on, Australia. You got this.
That'd be great.
Certainly do.
UFM. The Novos. The Novos.
Married at First Sight is the gift that keeps on giving, and we talk about it as much as we can because it just gives us gold.
It's so absurd.
Yeah.
And you know that a lot of it's sort of, you know, made up or whatever.
A little bit scripted or, you know, some people are actors, but
It's just entertainment, though.
It is. But, again, meant to be a reality show at the end of the day.
Yeah, so when people are after true love.
Now, when we look at this show, we're just like, okay, it kind of, you assess your own self and your own relationships as well when you watch this show. It's fantastic. Well, two of the participants in Married at First Sight, Jack and Ryan. Now, the participants are going through their homestays this week, which means you go to each other's houses in whatever city that they live in and blah, 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 blah. Jackie and Ryan, now, they've been kind of the tumultuous kind of couple.
Okay,
like, they look like they like each other, but then they hate each other at the same time. They're just like, she's disgusted by him half the time, it looks like, or she feels like she doesn't get much from him, and yeah, it's a whole thing. Anyway, so this week Jackie went to Ryan's home in Sydney with the excitement, you know, to see his stuff and learn more about him as a person, but it became obvious that the excitement kind of dissipated as soon as they went through the house.
As soon as she walked through the door, you can see the look on her face.
Yeah.
This is not a place I want to be.
No, because she kind of prides herself on being quite the fancy woman.
Right.
He seems like a well-dressed, well-mannered man, but his place doesn't really reflect that. So we cross into the living room, first of all. Now, he has a big couch, nice-sized couch, looks very old and dated and a little bit worn.
Ooh.
Same with the cushions, look like they need a good wash.
Right.
So there's that. Next, we move into what Ryan described as the main area and functioned as a study, living / den space. This is where some of Ryan's most prized possessions were. We have, first and foremost, on a hanger there, showing off his pride and joy, a 250-year-old antique Edo period or something, Japanese sword. So first and foremost, you're going into the living room, go
samurai
to the den.
Samurai sword.
Look at me.
No better way to impress a woman than a samurai sword.
What are you doing with a sword? Like, get over yourself. Anyway, and then you come to this empty vision board that's got, like, goals and all these, like, asterisks, and then a to-do and more asterisks. Nothing on there. So, fair enough.
No vision board. But what really upset her, I think, was the huge amount of just, like, trinketry.
And this is where we move into.
There's so many bits and bobs, and they're all dusty and old-looking.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to have a few things that, you know, they're mementos or whatever, but give them a wipe down before the lady comes over, yeah?
It just looks really ridiculous. Like, he's even got, like, a Target 2007 looking mini Christmas tree on top of, like, this big mantelpiece. It's hilarious.
It's just a lot of stuff everywhere. None of it looks like it's had a wipe in about 6 months.
He's even got, like, these fake skulls with like a goblet helmet. He's got like a card or something in these little goblets. One with like Bob Marley dreads. It's stupid.
They're things you'd get from like the $2 shop.
Yeah, on Halloween.
Yeah, and then you've gone, that's a nice decoration. Oh, I'll put that up.
It looks so You're bad. Wrong. Now, it was eye-opening. Jackie sobs at this point.
Oh, Jesus, that's a bit over-dramatic, isn't
it? Yeah, and then she says, I just think he's been alone here for 7 years and maybe he isn't even aware of how lonely he is. And then she goes, it really reminds me of the elderly because a lot of the elderly live in homes where they're alone for at least 10 to 15 years. Well, that's a bit rude,
essentially but, what's happened here, she's gone into the house and went, nah, this guy's not for me.
Yeah,
she's been fully put off. Yep. Fully put off by his house.
Mm.
And this is what we want to do here. 4967-4105, what put you off when you went into a date's house? Or maybe it was on the date itself.
Yeah.
Maybe they left their clothes everywhere. Mm. Or as a smell. I remember going into a date's house that just smelled off.
Yeah.
As soon as I went in there, I was like, this isn't going to last. I made some excuses. I was gone.
Yeah.
It's something. Sometimes it can be just one thing that fully puts you off.
Mm.
4967-4105. We'd love to hear your stories. Or it could be on the date. Something they say. Treating wait staff rudely is one that comes to mind.
Huge one.
Huge, like, red flag.
Mm.
If you've had an experience like this where something has put you off the relationship early on, we'd love to hear your stories. Let's go to producer Mark, first of all, because I believe you've got a story.
I do. It was back in... So I had a high school sweetheart and broke up with her just after high school. So I was playing the single game for just a bit.
Sure.
And I was actually at the National Art School down in King's Cross. Mm. So I was there for a couple of years and I met this girl and she was like, hey, do you want to come over to my place one night? So she lived in an apartment in King's Cross. So went over to her place, hanging out, went and got some pizza. We were just eating it, chilling back at hers. Went and put the pizza in the kitchen. We're hanging in the lounge room. I've gone into the kitchen to grab a drink and I've noticed all these like weird cockroach type bugs all over the pizza.
Oh!
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, I've got to go out and tell this girl that we've got to sort this out. Yeah. So I went out and told her and she just goes, oh yeah, that's fine.
What do you mean that's fine?
Oh.
That's what I said. I said, what do you mean? There's bugs all over the food. They're all in your kitchen. Like we should do something about this. She goes, no, they're there all the time. Don't worry about them. I just went, okay.
She has some interesting roommates.
I've got to go.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Creepy crawlies.
You know, like being at National Art School, I don't want to stereotype, but you come across some interesting kids at art school. So I'll leave it at that.
That was one of them. That was one of them.
Her best friends are bugs.
That's it. In Cooks Hill, Sarah, what was your story?
I went out on a date with this bloke, and he was so insistent on proving who he was. And this is like going back, you know, 10, 15 years. So,
right.
No, actually, probably more about 15 years ago. And like, we'd turn up on the date and he'd be like, okay, this is my name and here's my driver's license and this is my address and this is where I live. And the weirdest thing about it, and it really was bizarre, the more he tried to convince me, the less convincing it really was. And it was just bizarre.
Of course, that's such weird behavior.
I never actually ended up going out with him again, but it really was the most bizarrest behavior.
Sometimes those really weird off-putting things that you go, nah, this person's not for me, straight away.
Yes.
Sarah, you got to listen to your instincts. That was well done.
Exactly. To Elmore Vale, good morning. Helen, what's your story?
Good morning. Well, my instincts served me very well as well. I went on an online date, and normally I would restrict that to a coffee date as a first meeting, because the meals, you tend to get a bit stuck if you're not interested.
Yes.
This gentleman suggested this place, and it turned out it was right next door to his dingy little unit.
Oh,
where he lived.
Uh-huh.
He arrived late to the restaurant and he walked in. Sorry, there's a fire engine behind me.
That's all right.
So he walked in and he had this white shirt on. He ordered spaghetti and he sat there and he slopped it all over his face. It was all over his shirt. I could barely maintain my
eye contact.
Trying
to eat my meal. Couldn't get out of there quick enough.
Yeah, I think you've dodged a bullet there, Helen. Have you found...
definitely dodged.
Have you found someone now, or are you at least in a happy spot? Oh, I love to hear that.
Yeah, that was about 20 years ago.
Oh.
All's well that ends well. Avoid the slobs if you can.
Mm-hmm.
It's the hot tip there.
The Novos when you wake up.
Live across Newcastle and the Hunter.
All live, all local, 100% Newcastle.
So I've got my parents visiting this weekend. They just caught up yesterday, bringing the puppy Maple. She's so cute. I can't wait. Apparently, she's a bit of a terror.
Oh, really?
Well, just the little sharp teeth into everything. Yeah. So lock up all goods.
All of them.
Everything that can be chewed in any way, shape, or form.
Are you going to put them in cupboards or?
Yes, everywhere.
Yeah, all of it, yeah.
Away.
Wow.
Everything off the floor. Apparently, she's into all the power cords and everything. Which
ooh.
Is...
What is she, a rabbit?
Well, it's just a puppy, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, less than 3 months old and just in the chewing phase.
She's definitely a menace.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait, though. So fun.
Oh.
Puppies are so cute.
Maple's such a beautiful name.
I know. Selected by you.
I know. How cool is that? I'm still so proud.
Oh, well, bit of fun. That should be fun this weekend.
At least your little dog also will have a bit of company.
That's true. Molly will love it. Molly the Whippet. Two Whippets out on the town.
Oh, yes. Looking fly.
Exactly. Having a good time.
Yeah, that's it.
UFM. The Novos. The Novos.
Hey, now, though, there's this little startup business. It's called Ben's Got Wood. Ben's, you know, tiny homes, which means that he also makes, like, custom-made chicken coops and such.
Oh, nice.
Which is very, very fun. But what's interesting about these is his names for them.
Well, Ben's got wood already, for a start.
Like, that's a pun in itself.
Yeah,
he's like the king of puns.
Because he makes things out of wood.
Mm. So he's based kind of locally. He's down in West Gosford, so kind of nice. Just down the M1.
Yeah.
But I thought we could go through what he decides to call all of his creations. And these are really cool.
So these are like different models of chicken house you can buy.
Yeah, chicken coops. They're beautiful, actually. I wish I was a chicken.
And with the price of eggs, a lot of people are getting chickens at home.
There you go. So this could be good.
How scarce they are. So there's more and more demand for chicken coops.
Mm, that's right. Okay, so let's go through some of the names. Are you ready?
Yeah.
The Clucking Henitentiary.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, like
as in
hens,
penitentiary. Yeah that's not bad.
Cluckingham Palace, which I thought was the best.
I like that. That's probably the best of it. Yeah.
Yeah. The Layer Day Inn.
Oh, yeah, not too bad.
The Taj McCluck.
that's pretty good, too.
What about this? The Cockadoodle Cabin.
That's fun.
And then the Egg Factory. So they're just some of the names that he's got for
they're
them.
Pretty good. Mm. I reckon I've got a few that maybe you could use.
Yeah,
and
same.
These are for free. What have you got to kick things off?
Okay, because I know yours would be funnier.
Well, I don't know about... Do you want me to go first?
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah,
okay.
All right. I've got... So, for example, I thought we could have the Plot Chickens.
Oh, okay, yes.
What about this one? Guantanamo Bay. They're locked up.
Oh, then, yeah, I like it.
Yeah, how about this? Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
That's brilliant. I love it. Okay, my three are the Nugget Nest.
Oh, that's good.
That's chicken nuggets.
That's good. Yeah.
You got to have a chicken nugget pun. How about like for a circular pen, right? For example, you could call it Stonehenge.
Oh, that's good.
Right. And then Best of Cluck Inn.
Oh, that's good as
well.
This is what my... all this talk of chicken and I'm thinking...
Did someone say KFC?
I don't care!
I just want KFC after I hear all that.
UFM. The Novos. The Novos.
Probably the biggest news of the week would have to be the two NASA astronauts who just came back down to Earth after 9 months of being stuck in their SpaceX capsule.
This is so... would have been so terrifying in a way because the unknown of how long they're going to be there was what was so bad because they're supposed to be up there for less than 10 days.
Yeah, well, that's right. So the...
original mission...
it was June 5th. what do they call
extraordinary.
It's crazy. But so many problems actually came up along the way. So, you know, it just kept adding and adding to the delays. It's ridiculous. The poor things. You'd be so bored after a while, wouldn't you?
I think that'd be... stressed. Yeah, stressed probably. Or even that, they'd be very mentally tough because anyone who's chosen as an astronaut is. Mm-hmm. So I think from that perspective, that'd be okay. Mm. What would be concerning is the unknown and the lack of plan of when they're coming back. That was what was so unnerving about the whole situation.
Well, here's a little bit more of like some number stats for you.
Sure.
So the two astronauts ended up spending exactly 286 days. 286. That's a lot when you put it into that type of perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
They circled the Earth 4,576 times, traveled more than 195 million kilometres by the time it splashed down. Good on them for keeping it together.
Yeah, that's it.
But you're coming down back to Earth, right? And for so long, you've had no access to anything. What's the first thing that you're thinking of doing? Like, what would you want to do, Krebo?
Drive the car.
Drive? Okay, yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, something about, like, if you ever come back from a holiday and you haven't driven for a long time, there's something about getting in your own car and being in control of your destiny and destination that is just really lovely.
It's a good way of putting it.
I'd be also wanting a burger from Nui Fried Chicken.
Right, that's the first
because
thing.
Because there's no deep frying in space.
Obviously, everything, the oil would go everywhere.
Everything is to be, like, vacuum-packed and just heated softly in a microwave or whatever. It's not that good.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably a schooner at a local pub.
That's a good one.
Yeah, maybe the Royal Oak.
Oh, yeah, just you love that place.
It's such a lovely atmosphere. You got a mix of families and, you know, oddball locals. Just the right balance, you know? There's a person yelling about how he won the bingo, and then you've got a nice family playing over there in the corner. It's just the right balance.
Yeah, right. Well, I've already got my journey back from space kind of itinerary cottoned down. So the first thing I'm doing... I'm going straight to Nobby's Beach. I'm starting there. I'm running the Bathers Way. And after I've finished a nice, hot, sweaty run, I'm jumping in that ocean. Newcastle Beach, here I come.
You can't have a proper shower even in space.
Exactly.
Like, that would be absolute heaven, wouldn't
salt
it?
Salt water would be amazing. And then I'd be going to probably either Red Rooster.
Yeah.
Or Fat Chicken at Charlestown to get some hot chips and gravy.
And then your day is complete.
100% locally made, live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos.
So I was looking on just on Facebook Marketplace the other day, and up popped a free trampoline.
Free trampoline.
And I thought, this feels like an episode of The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah, you're not wrong. And that, oh, my God, back in the day, the trampoline was the ultimate thing to do.
Oh, I got a trampoline as a kid. I think it was a secondhand one.
Yeah, that's right. Got,
and it was so much fun.
Right.
It's just something about trampolining. And I went, I think Esme's a bit young for this still. I have to wait.
She's only 10 months old.
Yeah, she can't even walk yet. So trampoline was on hold. But what I noticed about, and this is probably the white reason it was free, one of those old school ones, no padding, no walls around it.
Oh, the original, just with the springs
just
and that's
springs
it.
And a mat.
Oh.
And it brought up so many good memories, but also... they were so dangerous in a way.
They absolutely were. You get, like, your foot or your knees or even your elbows, like, caught in the springs.
I feel like everyone knew somebody that either broken or sprained a bone, arm, leg,
bruised,
whatever.
Yeah, fallen off
one of these. Oh, I absolutely fell off one at one point.
You like, begged yourself.
I don't think I broke it. I didn't break anything. You'd remember that.
Yeah,
but you
of
definitely,
course.
Like, hurt yourself or whatever.
Yeah.
Here's what I wanted to do, because obviously safety and stuff has changed. 4967-4105. What dangerous or unsafe things did you do as a kid? Trampoline comes to mind straight away.
Yes.
Another one was we used to do pretty unsafe stuff with push bikes. So I grew up in like on a farm in a rural area, and we'd bring, like, it'd be a thing. Your mates would come over, they'd bring their bikes.
Yes.
And we used to find the steepest hill possible. Steepest hill. And we're not talking like with a, you know, footpath down. It's in the country. It's just a almost pushing on cliff. And we just have, like, who's brave enough to go down this?
Oh, that is not good.
So unsafe on reflection.
Oh, God.
So unsafe. But at the time, you're just like, well, are you brave? Yeah, I am. Let's do it then. All right, who's going down first? All that sort of stuff.
Your childhood wouldn't be a childhood unless you did some unsafe activities, hey?
There's something in the DNA of kids where they are drawn to doing things that are unsafe.
I have two examples myself.
Okay.
First one, pretty mild. Everyone's done it back in the day. You grab a piece of, like, big piece of cardboard, and I think it's at King Edward Park. You know, there's really that really steep hill that, like, kind of backs onto, like, a rotunda. Yep, going down that or the sand dunes or something like that on one of those cardboard box panels.
Yeah.
So, like, zooming down that hill.
No safety in line.
No, absolutely not. So, like, you're tucking and rolling, you're getting bruises and grazes. It's ridiculous. And then, second of all, so I was obsessed with, like, Narnia and, like, hunting movies and stuff like that as a kid.
Sure.
So I used to get, like the big skewers, the sharp big skewer sticks.
Yeah.
Or, like, the little kind of sharp kitchen knives or something. I'd go out in the backyard and pretend, like, my imagination was wild. I used to pretend that there was these, like, creepy, crawly predators, like, coming towards me. So I would, like, shoot them out of my hands and try and, like, stick them in the grass.
You were just playing knife.
Yeah.
Knife throwing.
Knife throwing at the ground at imaginary beasts.
Okay.
So that's dangerous. Could have got my toes.
Sure could have. Let's go to Thornton first. Nicole, what's your story?
Hi, Novos. How you going?
Great.
Awesome.
So, I'm a millennial.
Yeah.
And yes, it was really cool back in the day to be, you know, at a party, the one that your parents let you go to, but then, you know, you were sitting down with your friends and, mm-hmm, hey, let's be fun and cool and see who can do a smiley on their arm. So anyone that's a millennial will know what a smiley is.
It's that,
when I say a lighter, a cigarette lighter.
And just heating that thing up and then just see what happens.
And seeing who could keep it on their arm for long enough to send a smiley onto their skin. And what would happen is it would make two little eyes and a smiley mouth. If you could do it, you were elite. You were one of the cool kids.
Do you still have any scars, Nicole?
I have one on my right arm.
Oh, no pain, no gain, Nicole.
Yeah, at the time, but how silly as well and how unsafe, right? It's that things were different back then, right?
This is a thing? I'm gobsmacked.
Well, you're
lighting yourself on fire.
You're not a millennial. I saw it happen, but I wouldn't do that.
You're not cool, Chris.
I'm obviously not cool enough or elite enough.
Okay, let's move on to Beresfield. Hey, Rachel, what unsafe thing did you do as a kid?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
That's good. So I was about 6 or 7, I can't remember now. We're walking, having a walk with the family, and I was on a trike through Willoughby. And I must have, I don't know, lost my balance, so I started rolling down this hill, and there was a river at the end of this hill.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's yelling, you know, jump off, but obviously being a 6 or 7 year old, I was too scared to. This guy came along and heard Dad and got me just before I ended up rolling into the river.
Oh, my God.
Into the drink.
With the bike. Ooh. You could have drowned. Anything's possible there, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh.
All right. In Rutherford, Kathy, what's your story?
Well, when I was younger, I used to live in Wendell.
Yep.
And they've got Bulimia Crescent, which is like goes round onto Mary Gum Street.
Okay. Yeah.
And at the bottom, out the front of our house, we had bus stop. So when the buses would stop, we'd get behind the buses, I'd hold the back of the bus, and then we'd go right up and around holding onto the bus to the top of Mary Gum Street, and we'd let go and go flying down Mary Gum Street on our skateboards.
Oh, brilliant,
Kathy. I mean, so unsafe. But you live to tell the tale.
Sounds like a video game.
I had a few close calls on my butt and had quite a bit of skin taken off my butt at the time. But, my God, it was fun.
And it didn't stop you, did it, Kathy?
Yeah, pardon?
It didn't stop you from doing it again and again.
God, no.
Amazing.
I know.
Never learn.
You never learn. And you think at the time, this is absolutely fine. But looking back on it, so unsafe.
New FM.
The Novos. Basically finished for today. Mm-hmm. What's on for the rest of your day, Ari?
Look, I've just got nothing else on.
Really?
Yeah, how nice.
What a treat that is when you got no life admin, no chores.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I do have one life admin, actually.
What are you doing?
Well, it's my sister-in-law's birthday today. We're going down to see her tomorrow, so we've got to bake some cakes. We're baking her some cakes.
Nice.
Two different types of cakes.
What ones is she getting?
There's like a ricotta lemon.
Ooh.
That's the first time Mum and I would make that one. We've never made that before. And then kind of like a typical marble cake. So we've got like a vanilla and a chocolate cake mix. We've got to make them into a big swirly cake.
Swirl. How good. That sounds delicious.
Yeah. What about you?
I've got to go to a farm machinery shop. Right?
What? Are you getting a tractor?
No. It's close, though. I'm getting these big drums of special tractor oil for my dad for the farm because he can't get them down at the Central Coast. They don't have it. So he's like, can you pick me some up? I was like, yeah, no worries.
Dad, no just, way.
It's in Sandgate, actually, so it's really close.
Oh, God. It's on your way home, nearly.
Basically. So I'll grab that, and then I'm going to get my back cracked at the chiropractor today.
Didn't you do that last week? Or
no. I do it probably once a month. I reckon, yeah, just to, like, keep it nice and limber.
That's a good idea. Maybe I should do that, too.
Well, I've got a lot of lifting in my job. So
of course.
At the shop. Mm. So I just like to keep it, you know, all aligned and everything. So.
Do you even lift, bro? Oh, my God. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was a big thing.
Well, you do lift. Anyway.
We've got to give away a prize as well.
We do.
We've got two tickets to Divine Folly Anui, right, Ari?
We certainly do. This is really exciting. It's like a Parisian cabaret. It's part of Newcastle Fringe as well. Experience Australia's biggest little fringe program, and tickets at newcastlefringe.com.au. You want to get some tickets to this.
Yeah. Now, everyone that got on the air this morning was in the draw.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier in the show, we were talking about the unsafe things you did as a kid, and sometimes you just get up to some ridiculous stuff.
Of course you do. You're a kid.
Looking back, you go, oh, so unsafe. We got a call from Nicole in Thornton. This was her story.
Yes. It was really cool back in the day to be, you know, at a party, the one that your parents let you go to, but then, you know, you were sitting down with your friends and, let's be fun and cool and see who can do a smiley on their arm. So anyone that's a millennial will know what a smiley is. A lighter.
And just heating that thing up.
Seeing who could keep it on their arm for long enough to sting a smiley onto their skin. If you could do it, you were elite. You were one of the cool kids.
Do you still have any scars, Nicole?
I have one on my right arm.
That has earned you today two tickets to go and see Divine Folly and Yui.
Yeah, kids, don't try that at home,
that
please.
That is the dumbest and most unsafe thing you could possibly do, just about.
Made for a great story, though, so thank you, Nicole.
It certainly did. Have a great day, everyone, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
Woo, feel good Friday.
That was the Novos. You want more, right? Sure. Just head to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or newfm.com.au, and you can relive all the fun again and again and again.